see if we, why don't we see if we are, you know? It's amazing to me.
Are we on the air, Jan?
Not yet. We're close.
Not yet.
Okay. We're streaming live, but for some reason we're not live yet. We'll be going live soon. I'll tell you when, Kenny. All right, Kenny. I think now you could be happy.
I think we're on the air. I see that little red light flashing. We're on the air, Jan.
Yeah, I guess we are. So, hey, welcome everybody to the Sound Broker Mastermind Group. This is our 33rd one, 33. 33 and a third. I mean, who remembers those records? Right? Does anybody have any? I still have some, by the way. So anyway, we're going to be talking about a lot of different things today. We're going to talk about current events. We're going to talk about the vaccine. We're going to talk about the loans that are available. And we're going to talk about things that nobody in the room knows one thing about what they're talking about, but we're going to express our opinions on it anyway. So everyone's opinion is their own opinion, and anything that's expressed here, you can't tell whether it's true or fake news. So it's up to you to do your own research to come out with the information that you want to take from this. And just remember, one man's trash is another man's treasure. So there you have it, you know? So, hey, welcome everybody. This has been a crazy, 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 crazy week. And I wanted to start off, hey, Chip, it's good to see you. And if anybody is not following what's going on in the news, there's some good news and some bad news, depending on how you look at it. And the number one news today would be the fact that the Democrats have won both Senate races, and or they've been called for the Democrats in Georgia. And that means that Joe Biden will have a fighting chance to get something on the floor. Now, of course, those people that are super conservative and are worried about that, you really have nothing to worry about, because the Democrats only have a 50% margin right there, because the vice president will be the 51st. Chuck Schumer becomes the Senate Majority Leader. So, but you still have, you know, just think what they did when Obama was president. The Democrats had 59 senators and hardly anything got done anyway. Hopefully Joe Biden will be a little bit better and things will get done. So that's the good news if you look at it in one respect or another. And then of course we have what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. And if you guys, has anybody in the room not seen what's going on? So if you have, let's throw this right out for let's throw it right out for discussion. I mean, could you believe your own eyes and what you saw at the Capitol building today?
All I can think of was Back to the Future, the episode where Biff takes over as the leader. Do you remember that? I don't even remember it that well. I just remember it was very chaotic and this asshole was in charge. And it was Biff's, you know, city or casino or whatever. And it was horrible. Lots of rioting and looting and burning and shooting and yuck. And it was like, that'll never happen in the U.S. But sure enough, here it is, right there in our capital.
Well, that's pretty amazing, because I've been watching, by the way, you know, like this is something to watch. If you have Netflix, Shooter with it was the Mark Wahlberg film, but they made three series. And I have to tell you, I binge watched it. I couldn't stop watching it. But there is a scene in Shooter that was almost equivalent to what happened today at the Capitol building. It was just, you would think, I was watching it last night, I was saying to myself, this is incredulous. It's, you know, you really got to suspend your imagination, you know, your facts-based imagination. And it's just like, this is crazy, because if this guy was really alive, he would never seen light of day, because he killed so many people. But what it does is it gives me the fantasies, because, you know, I'm not a violent person, but when there's so much injustice going on around and you can't do anything about it. What's that, Ken? You got to talk so your screen gets shared.
No, I don't want to share my screen necessarily, but is that what you're talking about? The scene from the movie is the lower picture and the upper picture is actual news today. Is that right? That's what a friend of mine posted on Facebook. Is that what it is?
No, that was from a different movie.
Okay.
That was from a different movie. But
well, yeah. He was saying it's funny how life imitates art, you know, or art imitates, you know.
Yeah, It is. It absolutely is. And so does anybody have anything they want to share with that? Did anybody think that anybody have any opinions or something that they want to share on this?
Well, yeah, I'd like to backtrack to what you said earlier about nothing happening the first 4 years of the Obama administration. It seemed to me we had a pretty strong turnaround in our economy during that time. And a lot of the efforts were going towards that. Detroit especially received a lot of help there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, basically, you know, basically they did save the economy. And
yeah.
General Motors,
just
by the way.
Economy.
Yeah. General Motors did put back all, the government made money off of that too. General
Correct.
Motors ended up paying more than they borrowed. And of course, they did get the healthcare program passed in the end. And so people were able to have insurance up until they were 26 on their parents' policy. You were able to not get disqualified for insurance, even if you had preconditioned situations, you know,
pre-existing like conditions. Right.
Yeah,
and some other benefits too, that people forget about when they think about, oh, my policy, my premiums went up so much, is all they think of.
Well, it depends of how you look at it. You know, if you look at it, like I said, there's good news and bad news. There's, you know, one man's treasure is another man's treasure. And in this case, of course, if you weren't a fan of Obama, you basically said, hey, man, he said that I could keep my insurance policy if I liked it. And, you know, so you focus in on what you want to focus in on, you know. But this thing, what's happening right now at Congress, everybody seems to be up in arms about it, saying that, hey, this is wrong. I was watching Fox News. Somebody turned me on to say, hey, you got to watch Fox News, because they seem to have a really good fan base sending in streaming photos from their phone, which was really frightening when you saw this one streaming entity that was taken from the balcony of the Congress, and you see all these Congress people just huddled in a corner, you know, underneath the railings, and the police officer, the Capitol police officer, having his gun out, looking around, you know, and then there's that one scene where this guy is looking through the window. He's like wearing a white hood, and then there's all these guys dressed in suits, like if they were Secret Service agents, pointing a gun right at him, and he's trying to break in, and they've got some sort of credenza blocking the door opening to the Congress. I mean, that was amazing. If you haven't seen those pictures.
Scary shit. So you saw that on Fox?
Yeah. Yeah.
So does anybody know who this woman is that got shot in the chest in the Capitol building?
No, I don't. I think what's going to happen, we'll end up finding out about it, but it's going to take a little time. It's going to take a little time before those names are released. But there's plenty. I mean the photos that they got and the video that they got, because so many people were actually filming these people that broke windows and set off smoke bombs and all that stuff. The authorities are going to be able to track them down. That's for sure. So, you know, look, I never thought I would see this in my lifetime, that we've come this close to losing our republic. And so now it's very interesting to me to see if there's still going to be a obstruction on the floor of the Senate and the House, or whether there's going to be any objections to the counting now of the Electoral College votes. So we'll have to see.
Because that's what they were in the process of doing when they got interrupted. Is that right?
That's
or were
correct.
They complete? They were not complete.
That's correct.
Huh?
No, they were doing that, and they have until the 11th of January. They have till the 11th of January before that they, they could have to have the count. But it's going to happen now for sure.
Well, I was pleased to see that two things, that Pence did not buckle under the pressure of Trump, and he actually did the right thing, as far as I know. I may be wrong. But then the other thing was, even McConnell did the right thing and said that we can't let something other than the people decide who wins this election. Otherwise, our government will go into a downward spiral or something like that. And I was like, really? McConnell said that? That's pretty righteous. That's not a bad
thing. I actually watched him on Fox. He was, you know, I was watching the news from the Fox standpoint of view. And what I realized is that Fox News, actually is news. It's when they get into the commentary part of the show where it becomes not so much news. It becomes more commentary.
Well, I'll tell you what, all the news stations, all that I watch anyway, are all biased in one way or another. Like, the watching CNN report on the results of the Georgia election yesterday, you could tell between every line that they said they were rooting for the Democrats to win. It was so biased.
Yeah, well, that's what that's exactly what I've been talking about, is that, you know, it depends on your perspective. If your perspective is seeing it as white, if they're talking about black, it's no good. If your perspective is seeing it as black and they're talking about white, it's no good. The difference between CNN and MSNBC and Fox is that both CNN and then MSNBC say, hey, look, you got to check it out for yourself. You get all the facts. And Fox is basically saying, hey, we are giving you the facts. And anywhere else you go, you're not going to get the facts. We're giving you the truth because we're America's news network and we are going to give you the facts. And that's the main difference between Fox and MSNBC and CNN.
CBS.
But here was an interesting thing. Today, every network, CBS, NBC, all the local stations, because I was flipping stations, every one of them carried Biden's speech, every station. And meanwhile, we saw a quick blip from the president of the United States. But basically, he started out by saying, hey, they stole the election from us, so please go home now. It's crazy. We're in a crazy time. So
in his defense, I did, not that I want to defend Trump or anything, but I saw that he actually, when this violence started, he tweeted something about, come on, let's be peaceful. Our protests should be peaceful. Remember, we're the law and order party, or something like that. You know, something along those lines. And I was like, well, that's not bad that he tweeted that. That's at least a starting point. That's good. That's better than saying, go get him.
Yeah, well, it seems to me he owns the kerosene and match concession there. So that's basically what it is. You know, let's more kerosene, more matches, and buy them from me. You know, it's funny. Yeah, go ahead.
So, I mean, this was not a surprise in D.C., and I'm really surprised that the reaction to the law enforcement, because I've got a crew of seven people working in D.C. this week, and we were told Monday that we would have to shelter in place in our hotels today, and they basically shut down. So, I don't agree with what happened up there. 100% do not agree with it, but I think there was sort of an optic illusion that they thought that they could maintain this without bringing in. This could have all been stopped at the bottom of the steps if they had properly prepared for it. And I think they knew that this was going to happen because they flat out called us and told us we couldn't leave the hotel on Wednesdays.
You know, it's funny that you weren't surprised about it. You should have been running the Capitol Police, you know, because obviously they were completely surprised by it. I mean, it blows my mind that how unprepared they were for this.
They appeared to be surprised by it. But what Brian is saying is they obviously knew about it, and it's stupid that they didn't prepare better for it, right?
Yeah. On Monday, they told us we couldn't be out in the streets working in D.C., that we had to stay in our hotel in D.C.
On Monday, and this is Wednesday. Wow, how about that?
So then the question comes, how do you explain what happened? How did the Capitol Police fall down like that without doing anything? I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy, you know?
There's a lot of craziness going on, right?
Well, and the sad part, and I've been watching it off and on between work today, but person made a very valuable point. It's going to be 48 hours before they'll even let a congressional person back into the Capitol. From the standpoint, now it's been breached. They've got to go through every crack, corner, crevice, and make sure some terrorist didn't piggyback on this and leave biologicals or leave other explosive devices within the Capitol. First thing is get everybody out of the building. Then they've got to go through and scour every little inch. And if you've never been in the Capitol, there's a lot of places that you can stick stuff into.
Well, they have a lot of bomb sniffing or drug sniffing dogs or bad stuff sniffing dogs, right?
Yeah, but I think they're more worried about biologicals.
Don't they have dogs that are trained to sense them?
Not everyone has the same scent.
I think by the time they find the biologicals, though, I think it's a little too late, right? You know? So anyway, you know, it's ironic to me that today I was preparing, you know, for the talking about the vaccine and PPP. And as I was preparing, I came across this article, and we'll throw a link in the chat. And I just want to basically read a little bit about it. It says, anxiety is a sense of fear and apprehension that puts you on alert. Stress is caused by external influences, while anxiety is an internal response that's part of what makes anxiety intrinsical. Differently than stress, it also makes it difficult to manage. And that came out from the National Institute of Mental Health. And it says that more than 40 million people in the United States right now are experiencing anxiety. I cannot imagine how many more people are feeling stress. And so, I mean, going through the room, I would think that everybody in this room is feeling some sort of anxiety. Is there anybody that's
feeling anxiety since last March when they said you can't work anymore? That made me pretty anxious.
Yeah, it's like whoa. It's, you know, but you know, I thought I was in like stress. I guess maybe I am, you know, feeling the stress, but it's more, you know, I'm more anxious than anything else. I guess it's all in the way you perceive the words.
You get the double dose, anxiety and stress.
Yeah, that's it. I've got it both, you know, anxiety, stress. There's my double guns, two guns, better than one. But so
Dan, how is Dave?
Okay, well, speaking of more anxiety, you know, so like Dave had an operation. Dave Dansky, who is a part of our group, he had to be rushed to the hospital last Monday, complaining of internal stomach pain. And then it turns out he was there for till Saturday, giving him all sorts of tests before they finally figured out it was something to do with the twisted intestine. And so on Saturday afternoon, I believe, or Sunday morning, they did some surgery and he's feeling better. Although I haven't heard from him I've texted him a few times. He's going through the uncomfort now of post-surgery, whatever happened, you know, the anxiety of post-surgery. But he looks like he's, you know, it looks like he bit the bullet on this one, and he's going to be back with us. I was hoping he was going to come into the room today, you know.
And he's in the room, actually. It looks like it's a Dave Dansky checked in.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Look at that. No camera, Dave, no Dansky, audio, hello, but he's there. David. So, David, we're talking about you. So, come on, open up your mic, and let's hear you at least.
Yeah, you know. But I'm glad that he's in the room. I'm absolutely, you know, and, you know, the thing is that I just lost my best friend, Peter, you know, to COVID. And then all of a sudden, you know, and here's just a little anecdote, is that David was the person who reintroduced me to Peter. You know, I met Peter back in 1971 and I'd lost contact with him completely. It wasn't until 1975 that David Dansky and I were sharing a house at the top of the Hollywood Hills, where he said, hey, I have a friend who's Barry Manilow's tour manager that's going to stop by. And then Peter and I became friends from that. So when David went into the hospital, I was basket case time, you know. And I also want to say something. Somebody, you know, another member, and I'm not going to mention his name, who's not here. Yes, I will. He's not here. Chris Musgrave. I invited him and he says he was against the fact that I should be doing this show today, the Mastermind show. But I disagreed with that completely, because even when my best friend was going, had just died, I felt that this was so important for me to do, to share you know, what we were doing and getting a little bit of levity and a little bit of outside contact with one another of like minds, that I continued to do it. And the same reason I'm doing it today, I'm not going to let the bad guys and I'm not going to let the bad situations change the way I live my life and to the best of my ability. And so that's why we're here today, you know, and I think a catharsis is a really wonderful thing, to be able to share what we're feeling through talk.
Right. And like when bad things happen, people have different things that they turn to feel better about life. It sounds to me, Jan, like this is one of the things that you turn to feel a little better about life, even in the light of something horrible happening, like the loss of your best friend.
Yeah. I absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's a, this is, you know, as Sean said, and he's not in the room right now, but he said to me, you know, this is better than therapy for him, you know, it's people to talk to that I know I can trust, and the people that are listening. And I hear a lot of people tell me that they do listen in and they watch it, they get pieces and they like what they hear, you know, we are providing a service to them. And so, you know, even if it's a small service and we are providing it, it's something that's really worthwhile.
And it's nice. It makes you feel good when you realize that other people feel the same way as you.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. So anyway, I would think that right now we should just jump ship and start talking a little bit about the COVID vaccines and what's going on, right? Anybody in the room feels like we shouldn't move on, or is there anybody else that wants to keep talking about what we're talking about? Anyone?
I think it's wonderful that we can all get vaccinations soon. I just hope they get it organized so that it happens faster.
Oh, man. You and the rest of the country, I think, feel that way, other than maybe a minority.
Really good job. I think they're moving ahead pretty quickly down here in Florida, setting up a lot of the areas that were set up for testing are now becoming places where you can actually get the vaccination, which makes the process really fast because it's huge parking lots, like at the football stadium, big open parks where there's lots of room for people to still be socially distanced while they're in the process of getting this vaccination. So
do you know if you can get the vaccination from your car?
I haven't seen that yet.
No, I don't think they're doing that, Ken. I mean, here they turned the hockey stadium into a vaccination facility. So you enter on one side and walk the outside perimeter and hit your different stations to check in before you walk to the final one where they jab you. And then I think they're making you hold here for a few minutes after you get the shot to make sure there's not an immediate.
We lost.
Make sure there's not an immediate reaction.
It's a 15-minute wait so they can observe in case there are any reactions to it.
Reaction. But I also noticed that the local CVS now has put two portable sheds in their parking lot, and they've closed off that side of the parking lot. So I assume as soon as CVS gets the green light to start doing vaccination, that's where they're going to be doing
that. And what city are you in again, Brian?
I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, how neat. That is great to hear.
So I wanted to, I got a letter. We all got the letter from Michael Strickland. And basically, if you haven't, does anybody have not seen the letter? Well, I'll just read it to you. Basically, what he says is I have some news to share regarding the vaccines. I was vaccinated with the Pfizer solution Saturday morning. From this point forward, I speak to you about firsthand vaccine reactions. I'm pleased to report zero symptoms from that morning until today. Nothing. If anything occurs, I will let you know. He says, then after you are provided a CDC card that notes all the details of your vaccination, as well as to set up the second shot at the same time. You are 50 to 65% immunity with the first shot. The second shot moves you up to 95% immunity. And then they are expected to at least last for about a year. So basically that's good news. He's got the Pfizer and he's fine with it. I will say this, that somebody had asked me to do some research into it. And I've done some research and I've shared it with Kenny as well. So we've got some research and we've got some links we'll throw in the chat. But one thing before we go any further, I just want you to know, and this is a public service announcement, only get your shot from reliable sources. Do not look for something in Craigslist or say, hey, you know, or a friend says, hey, psst, hey, buddy, come here. I got a shot for you, you know, in my trunk of the car. So you have to be careful of that. And the way they're going to do this is they're going to call, you know, they're going to have scam calls calling you up saying, hey, look, we'll set you up for a vaccine, but you have to pay for it in advance. And so you're going to see a lot of phone calls that are going to come through. You'll start to hear about it, that people were going to be contacted on the phone as if it's a health providing organization and that you will like to schedule for you your shot, but you have to pay for it in advance. So be very careful of those scams. You shouldn't have to pay anything because the U.S. government is picking up the tab on the COVID vaccine. All right. So that's one thing that I want to say.
There's a lot of, speaking of scams, there's a lot of misinformation out there as well, a lot. And that's what the anti-vaccine, or the people that don't want to take the vaccine, are going by. They're going by a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of misinformation on all the social media platforms and a lot of bad, what appears to be data. You know, they're portraying it as facts, but it's not factual, all this misinformation about these vaccines. Like for one, you know, that this vaccine is going to change your DNA or something like that. That's one of the silly misinformations. But there's a lot of misinformation. And if we as a society don't go all in on this vaccine, we're not going to get out of this COVID era very quickly, you know. So we really have to all get into it so that we get that herd immunity, I think they call it, so that the... So we can move on and not have to worry about gathering.
Yeah. Now, is anybody hearing this, what I'm hearing, and I think somebody else mentioned, it might have been you, Ken, is that there are nurses that are refusing to get the shots?
That's what Cheryl's ex-daughter-in-law said, was that she's a nurse in Chicago area. And she said, 30% of the nurses there are refusing to get the vaccine because they think it's not safe. I think that was the premise. I may be misquoting, right, but I think that was the premise why they don't want to get the vaccine. It's like, come on, you're right there on the front lines watching all these people suffer from COVID and you're not going to get this vaccine to avoid it. Give me a break.
This goes back years because we fight the same thing in the rare disease community. Everybody thinks it takes 5 to 10 years to approve a drug. And if you shortcut that at all, and then you got to do 40,000 people in double-blind studies. The basis, from what I'm understanding from my people in the rare disease community, the basis that they used for all these trials were based off of how we approve a drug for rare disease. So there's 7,000 rare diseases out there, and you don't have time to do double-blind studies. A lot of the diseases don't even have 40,000 people in. The one that I have barely has 40,000 people. But none of us are active with the disease at the same time. So you can't test 40,000 people. And this is what they're arguing, but you're not following the standard protocol to improving a drug. And the emergency protocols that they pulled, actually they pulled off the shelf of how you approve a drug for a rare disease. And we've taken that as a way to move forward. But
it doesn't make it any less safe or less effective,
just,
right?
It's just a smaller data set. So there is the risk for that outside reaction. But you got to weigh which is worse. You got to take the least of the two evils. And we don't have time to do a 5-year study on this. We won't be around in 5 years if we take 5 years to do a study on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not unreasonable for anyone to feel that the drug may not be safe. I mean, how could anyone, no one can guarantee it's safe. It's not at all unreasonable for anyone to feel that the drug might be unsafe.
No, it's not. But I mean, the one saying you didn't follow any protocol at all, that's not correct. There was a protocol that they followed.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's just not the standard protocol that we typically use.
But it's not like polio or the older flu shots that have been around, true, tried and tested, tetanus shot, et cetera. I mean, they used a brand new technology for this vaccination as well.
Right. And the RNA screening that they used to get to this point is what we've been using in the rare disease community. So it's you don't hear about it because it's rare diseases. So, I mean, the disease that I have, there's a cure for the disease, and we know we're in year 3, and it'll be 7 more years before it's approved because it's a cure has a 10-year policy, even on an expedited trial. So, but they did follow guidelines. This may just not be the standard guidelines that we're used to following.
Yeah. Well, maybe they should change those rare disease, because you hear it rarely, to unheard of diseases. So that way you haven't, very rarely unheard, So, but basically, to get back to reality here, what I was thinking is that, and I heard this in Florida, that they were giving people shots that weren't on the priority list because their concept was that the priority list people are not taking them. And once they mix up that vaccine, it has a certain shelf life. And rather than throw it in the garbage, they'll vaccine anybody who will come in at that particular time. And that's why people who were not on the priority list of basically above 70 or above 65 were able to get some shots down in Florida.
I don't know. I mean, here in Charlotte, you have to call in, and the waiting list is like 3 weeks right now. You have to have an appointment before you even show up at the stadium.
Mm-hmm. Chris, what about in Florida? What are you hearing?
I'm hearing that they're having problems with the sites setting up the appointments for people to get the shots. And that's why some of the vials are going bad. They're not being stolen. They're not being, vandalized by somebody who's got an agenda. They're just the front end of it is not set up to get people to answer the phones, to get these appointments set up. And you got to figure that all these, a lot of people that are older are not as quick on computers and weeding through websites as the younger people are. So, they might be having trouble doing that. And that's probably why a lot of these are going to waste.
Yeah. Cause I saw long lines in Florida trying to get that vaccine.
Oh. There was a line. I went to see about getting it this morning, and it was about a mile and a half long of cars to get into the park where I was getting tested before. So it's going to take a long time, and I'm not 65 yet, so I really have no business, getting in the line. But hey, if they're going to go to waste, let me know. I'll be there.
Yeah, that's the way I feel too. So we know they're getting cards out. So, and I know there'll be an app that you will be able to, once you get your vaccine, that it will be, you'll have some proof that you did get the vaccine, because eventually it's going to be that you're not going to get on a plane unless you have the vaccine. And then I'm sure there's going to be some kids that are going to school that they're going to have to prove that they've got a vaccine as well, or teachers or something. So this is going to get more and more popular. And I think it's going to change a great deal once the new administration gets in, because look what the people did when Ebola. I mean, how many people do you know had Ebola here in America, or the bird flu? I mean, the other administrations were able to put that together in such a manner that it didn't become widespread as this, where there's over 350,000 people dead and God knows how many millions of cases there are of this disease around. So, there is hope now on the horizon for sure. The other thing is they're saying now that they think that they can mix and match some of the vaccines. So basically, one question that I did some research on, and the way it works with the vaccine, if to the best of my understanding, and Brian, you probably know more about this than I do, but basically the government has bought all of the vaccines, and then through the CDC, and then the CDC works with the the individual state health departments, and that's how they decide what vaccine that state is going to get. So you really don't have a choice whether you want the Moderna vaccine or the Pfizer vaccine or the Johnson & Johnson or the AstraZeneca. It's my understanding that they will tell you what's available in your marketplace. Does anybody know anything about that?
Yeah, there are some differences, and it has to do with how your reaction has been to like penicillin, if you have any reactions or allergies to any of those type of medicines, then they're pushing the Moderna one because supposedly it has less. And this is just limited knowledge that I'm getting from secondhand from University of Miami down here. They want to get all their teachers, get them shot, you know, give them the jab as soon as possible. And that's sort of the priority and how they're stating it, and that the AstraZeneca will be for those that don't have allergic reactions, and Moderna, they're going to try to give to the other ones. That's right. All I'm there.
You're applying. Also, it's on the availability of space of storage and where you have the place to store it. I read a story yesterday about a doctor in North Dakota that he's in a remote hospital, but he can't get the medicine out there to the remote hospital. And so they've gone and worked with one of the food companies to take a refrigerated truck and drive to a regional hospital. And the police are actually escorting this truck back into town to get, which one is it? Moderna has to be kept in a chilled.
Moderna is regular chilled, and then the Pfizer is super chilled, right? So the Pfizer is more difficult to transport, right?
So he's just even trying to get the Moderna in there to get enough to shoot his hospital staff up with. And they ended up having to go and find a local, because that's the other problem with FedEx and stuff. They're transporting it. They're transporting it in conditioned boxes. So, I mean, that little vial takes up a 3 cubic feet when they put it into the airplane or the trucks when they transport it. I do know that the government waived off the amount of dry ice that the airplanes could carry right now in order to get the drug back and forth. Hey, Jan, I was just looking, and the International Air Transportation Association has given final approval for a COVID-19 passport or an additional line of passport onto your regular passport. So it'll be an extra checkbox on your passport.
Well, there you go. Look at that. You know, something I just came up with that at the top of my head, and it's reality now. Unbelievable.
And Michael Strickland said that you're provided a CDC card that notes all the details. So the CDC card is your first step, I think.
It was with last week's group, or where I was on a group saying, you know, it's going to be the same thing as at a concert. Somebody will be out back printing those up out of the back of their van.
In bootleg ones. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Ah, dirty rat bastards. No, don't let them do it. Make it super secure.
I'm sure it will be. I have it on good authority that it will be secure. You know, that there won't be any fraudulent, CDC passports going around. That, I wonder, I watch all these shows on TV, and of course, it seems so easy for anybody to get a false passport. But I wonder if that's the case in reality, you know?
That just like no dead people are voting?
No dead people are voting. Relatives of dead people are voting, but no dead people, you know? But if you died, what if you voted and then you went and then you died? What if you died at the voting booth? Something to think about, eh?
So the other thing I saw a story the other night. They were talking about that a lot of the vaccine or the manufacturers are working on a composite shot that would go with the flu vaccine or flu shot and everything else. It would be a one shot composite, and I'm not sure those are compatible, are they? And how are they doing that? And that you'll have to do a composite shot every year to stay current.
Brian?
No idea on that one. I do know that some of the medicine that I had to take, I had to skip flu shots periodically. So, you know, it, it goes back and forth. I really don't know the answer to that one.
Hey, Chip, what are you hearing down where you are over there in Missouri? What's going on over there as far as the vaccine?
You know, I think just kind of the same thing as everywhere else. The only people that are really getting it here are medical workers. My daughter works in a doctor's office and she got it.
Yeah. Has anyone heard of anybody getting the shot and having an adverse reaction personally?
I know five or six people that have had it and zero adverse reactions.
Yeah, me too. I haven't heard one case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's all a good sign. Nothing bad.
The only thing I've heard is one of the manufacturers that if you are severely diabetic, there is a reaction. And then if you've had a filler, plastic surgery, whatever, there is a reaction there too on one of them.
One of them, you can't have any Botox within the last 2 years. So Jan, you're
out.
Is
that right? How interesting. Yeah. So,
all that Botox I've gotten.
For what it's worth, my father-in-law, Cheryl's father has had a, what's it called? You know, replaced, he had his kidney or liver replaced, his liver replaced, right? So, you know, he was kind of concerned about it because of that. And so he got permission from the USC or UCLA Medical Center that he's good to get the vaccine. He got his first shot. No problem so far. Everything's good.
Yeah, my mother she's allergic to so many medicines that her doctor right now is actually scouring through the list to see if she can actually take it because of all her medicines for reactions. Just looking at what the base is of the shot.
Well, you know what they say about the shot. Some people are saying it's going to alter your DNA and that kind of stuff, but I was reading this here. It says, mRNA vaccines, which the COVID vaccines are, do not contain the live virus that causes COVID-19 and therefore cannot give someone COVID-19. Additionally, mRNA vaccines do not interact with a person's DNA because the mRNA does not enter the nucleus of the cell. Cells break down the mRNA quickly. Based on how mRNA vaccines work, experts believe that they are unlikely to pose a specific risk for people who are pregnant. However, the actual risks of mRNA vaccines to the pregnant person and her fetus are unknown because these vaccines have not been studied in pregnant women. Of course not. There's not been enough time. But mRNA, it sounds very scientific. It sounds like, you know, like out of the future, right? It's not a
well. That's what typical all of vaccine. That's what all of these vaccines are designed around. So that is the building blocks of all of these vaccines, from what I understand. Anybody have any different opinion of that?
No, and I mean it's just like the flu shot doesn't go through the full rigorous testing every year that they want to have, but this is based off the bottom line of a flu shot. You're just adding on to the top layer, changing the icing on the cake, more or less.
It's injecting the virus, a small part of the virus into your system so that you become immune to it more?
It depends on which flu shot you're getting.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think it's the same thing with the virus, with this virus. I believe one of them, I think the reason why the Pfizer has to be kept so cold is because there is the virus in it, I think. But the way it works is that it just gets your antibodies in your system acclimated to it so that they could fight it off if it comes in again. That's the understanding of how all the vaccines work, right? Right, Brian?
Yeah, you're getting as we say, you have a killer, you have a T cell that there's a killer T, every T cell group has a killer gene in there that's designed to fight off something. So once your body's reacted to it, that killer T learns how to manage it. And then if the virus were to come in again, that killer T would mobilize the rest of the T cells to attack it as an army. That's just an oversimplification of explaining how that works, but yeah, you're introducing something in there not severe, but just enough so that your body learns how to react to it, and put it down. And then when it comes time.
So it's a training exercise. It's training ourselves
right,
how to react.
Right. Training your cells how to do it. I mean,
so here's here's a little one paragraph explanation from a Medical News Today website. It says most vaccines contain an infectious pathogen or part of it, but mRNA vaccines deliver the genetic instructions for our cells to make viral or bacterial proteins themselves. Our immune system responds to these and builds up immunity.
Okay, I stand corrected. I'm not a doctor.
No, it's what you just what you said, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, the first time when I said it was the same overlay as the flu shot.
Well, I think the mRNA vaccines are maybe different than your typical flu shot, but it's short for messenger RNA. It's a single-stranded molecule naturally present in all of our cells. It carries the instructions for making proteins from our genes located in the cell nucleus to the cytoplasm, the main body of our cells. And that's way too deep for me.
Sounds like fake news to me. Fake news, I tell you, that's fake news. You know, but no, all kidding aside, remember what I said in the beginning, you know, we are not doctors. So that whatever we say right now, you got to go out and you do your own research. Don't take my word for it, you know. To me, every vaccine is just a pain in the ass. Oh, no, except for this one you get in the arm. That I understand there is no pain at all whatsoever in some of these.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. No, nothing.
You know, so anyway, one thing I would like to throw up to the room, just, you know, so the vaccine is out there. We believe that it's all going to get more popular and more people are going to get it. When do you think we're going to go back to work? When do you think there's going to be enough vaccine out there so that here in the United States, we're going to get some work? Now, some of these guys, like, you know, there's people in the room, Chip, Ken, Chris, that have been around a long time, Richard as well. What do you guys feel as far as when do you think it's going to be the herd part of it is going to be enough for us to say, hey, there's going to be a show tomorrow?
I think you got to wait and see what happens out of this variant and how close this, how much this vaccine is going to be effective against the variant, because I'm hearing all over the board on that. That it will or it won't. And I've gone from being optimistic to a little bit more pessimistic in the last 2 weeks, just watching the variant coming out of England.
Yeah, so Jan, I think it depends on the show. I mean, concerts are one thing. Broadway's, you know, is a little bit different than concerts, but close. Corporate trade show, you know, my company's doing lots of virtual events, XR stage stuff, etc. We're just starting to do some more hybrid events. I had some really nice ones in December and January that got canceled. They went 100% virtual. But these hybrid events is where it's going to go first. And then I think the hybrid events will happen with concerts as well. I think there'll be select audiences and virtual audiences that maybe they pay, maybe they don't, maybe there's sponsorship, et cetera. But in terms of getting, you know, 15, 20,000 people together in one space, if it's a convention center or a ballroom, I'd be surprised if it happens any sooner than the fourth quarter of this year. And I think that's optimistic. Now, hybrid events, I think once the curve starts to go down, I think we're going to see that almost immediately.
Yeah. Well, we would hope so, right? Right. Chip, what are you hearing?
I mean, our big festival clients and like Live Nation and those guys are saying that they're not even thinking about anything before June or July in terms of like amphitheater and arena shows. You know, festivals, I think you may see a few in 2021, but for the most part, I think they're tapped out till 2022. It's just, you know, nobody has the money to risk at this point.
Yeah, because I hear Live Nation's not giving any advances right now.
No, the I mean, the other thing, talking to my folks on the promoter side is that it's really hard to find talent that's willing to even entertain an offer at this point, because those guys, you know, the name talent are pretty well set and they can afford to wait this out, and nobody wants to go first, because if they go first and something bad happens, then they're the asshole and nobody wants to be that.
Right. And Ken, what about you? What do you hear? I mean, in the country market over there in the Christian market, what are you hearing?
Most of the festivals are all rescheduling right now. We've gotten inundated with rescheduling from August, September, October. I did notice the other day that they was it Lollapalooza the last weekend of July. So there's nothing really earlier. It's all going to be late summer into fall. Touring wise, it depends on what part of the country you're in. You know, I'm hearing stuff, dates in Florida, but a lot of dates in Texas and Oklahoma. You know, we'll see what that goes on. The problem is, if you got a bigger tour, you got to spread it over many states, and then you got to worry about how many dates you lose from certain states turning stuff off.
Yeah.
I don't see any big tours taking a risk anytime before the summertime at the earliest, and even then at the fall, really September at the earliest. But you know, as Mike, as Michael Strickland was saying, you know, we were supposed to have had 20 million people vaccinated by the end of the year, and we only had 4. So at the rate we're going, yeah, it's going to be a slow process to get that vaccination to be effective. And so we need to really step that up. Obviously, some people are working on that. Hopefully, it really steps up in a few weeks when the administration change happens. But, you know, it remains to be seen.
Yeah, it does. But there are some shows going on. I mean, Steve, don't you have something going on? And how is that? How are they handling this?
Super Bowl, as of right now, is still happening.
Is that at the Superdome in New Orleans?
No, it's in Tampa this year.
Okay.
It's in Tampa, and it's an outdoor event that we're doing. So, and they're selling X amount of tickets, and that's it. So they're gonna keep it spaced out.
I heard it was 60,000 capacity. They're selling 15,000, was it, or 20,000, something like that?
I really don't even know.
So what about the event? Because you basically do the outside tail, the NFL tail parties, right, or something like that? I've forgotten exactly.
The Experience, yeah, which is right. A public event. But like I said, they're going to limit the amount of tickets.
How are they going to handle that differently this year, the Experience?
You know, I'm really not sure, because I haven't really been involved with the event. Jeff's handling that. He's on the call here, but he's...
Right.
He's the one that's got all the information on it.
I'll just make it up, but what's the difference? Yeah. You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of tailgating, Jan, in the NFL, even the stadiums that allow fans to come in limited capacity, they absolutely forbid tailgating. And they even have people showing up at different times in the parking lot to try to spread it out a little bit. So I can't imagine the Super Bowl is going to allow any kind of tailgating. With that being said, it is in Florida. But the NFL is the one, you know, left holding the bag at the end of the day when it comes to that stuff. And they've been obviously very conservative.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that they are. I mean, look at the NCAA championships right now. They're going to do what the NBA did, and they're going to isolate everybody, put them in a bubble. So, but I don't know how many fans are going to be allowed to go. Does anybody know anything about that?
Yeah, in the case of NBA and NHL, there were no fans at all. And the bubbles were very effective, right? I don't think NBA or NHL had any problems at all. I mean, we were involved in some of the NHL stuff, and they had a pretty strict policy, even for the, you know, the techs that are working in the arena, not even counting the players and support staff. Yeah. So they definitely had it buttoned up.
Now, Richard, did I just get an email saying that you are going to be involved with the LDI Awards this year?
Yeah, we are. We're supplying our Digital Oasis product, which is a virtual online system or ecosystem. And I'm personally not involved in it, but I do know that that we're sponsoring it and doing it.
Right. Right. So anyway, let's, I guess if there's anybody has anything else to say about this subject, let's just move on to our next thing, and that's going to be money. Wanted to talk a little bit about money. Anybody have anything more that they want to say about the, about this in regards to getting back to work? Well, then let's talk about money. I guess they've got the second round now is available. Somebody put it, Steve put into the chat. I don't know if he can talk for himself right now because Steve, are you there? You want to talk about what you just said? No, doesn't. All right. So he says, just FYI, folks, from the NFIB today, if you get a grant from the Save Our Stages grant, you and not be able to apply, you may not be able to apply for the next stage of the PPP or vice versa. It seems to make sense that if the Restore Act passes, it will have the same rules. So keep in mind applying for the next round of PPP. Does anybody know what I just said?
Nope. Sounds like you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't get a PPP and a Save Our Stages relief program. You can't benefit from both of those programs. Does that sound right, Jan?
Basically, as I understand it, is that the Save Our Stages is kind of structured for people that didn't qualify for PPP. So it's kind of the other way around.
Interesting.
Well, Save Our Stages is specifically geared towards venues and promoters, maybe? No, not promoters. Not maybe promoters, but isn't that geared towards a certain segment of show people?
Yeah, there's some really, really specific, very strict rules as to who qualifies and who doesn't. And kind of in general, I think none of us on this call qualify. My big concern with it is that you know, the press is treating it like this is the solution for our industry. And it kind of ignores 80% of our industry.
At least, if not more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're and by the way, didn't I hear, who was it? Was it Chris Musgrave maybe that said, if we think there's going to be another relief bill, we're sadly mistaken. Because this, you know, this was a pretty big relief bill. They got it to pass. It addressed whatever percentage of our industry. So they feel like, oh, we did our part. Now move on. You know, we're not going to do the Restart Act. Doing the Restart Act would be very unlikely, is what whoever was saying that implied.
Yeah. So, but I hear that the next round of PPP is going to affect. And by the way, we just finished, in case anybody had not realized, we just left 2020. So in hindsight, we can go back a little bit and see it. But
of course, you had some PPP. Hey now.
I've been wanting to use that line for a long time. All right.
In hindsight, it's 2020. That's right.
In hindsight, it's 2020. So Ken Porter, talk to us a little. Give us some non-professional hypothetical advice on regards to what you need to do if you want to capitalize on your losses of last year.
Well, most people, I don't know if they've talked to their accountants. Basically, you need to discuss with the accountant. But the angle that some people I'm doing right now is that we're showing last year as a loss, and I can add, particularly if I have depreciation, if you're using the accelerated depreciation schedule, or you add the bonus depreciation, and you can then show it as a larger loss, and then you go back and refile. You can show a loss for the year, and then go back 5 years, and you can get basically all your loss back from redone tax returns from the past couple of years. So that gives you money. In mind, if you're a sub-S corporation, it'll show up as personal. If you need to get money into the business, you can loan it from you personally into the business as a interest there, you know, as it shows an interest, but you can move it around how to support stuff in there, but you can get money back as a rebate.
Another one that we need to take a careful look at with your accountants is the employee retention tax credit, because they've extended that, and you can get for payrolls that you paid that you didn't pay with PPP money, you can get 70% of that back in cash.
Well, that's a really interesting.
For what time period? Whoa, I know I haven't.
Any time period in 2020.
So, like, even the 2 months, 3 months prior to the crash.
I believe so. For sure, after, but through the end of the year. But I believe it counts retroactively to January. So, we're looking at several hundred thousand dollars from that.
Wow, that's not a bad thing, actually.
Yeah.
And it's not it while it's structured as a tax credit, the way that that it's written is they just write you a check. So you don't have to apply it to future tax. You can actually take it as cash.
Speaking of them writing you a check, now we get these stimulus checks. And what has anybody here received a stimulus check? Do you expect
most people here probably don't qualify?
Because of high income, you mean?
Well, I mean, it's not that high, it's
above anything under above 75, above 75
grand, you don't get anything. So,
and wait, above 99, you don't get anything. Above 75, it decreases until you get to 99. But
okay, yeah.
But anyway, so has anybody gotten anything?
That's also adjusted gross. So any write offs or dependents, et cetera, will bring that amount down. I mean, I got a very small one. I was surprised.
You got it already for the second dose?
No. I don't think I'll get the second one. But I told my son on the first one, I said, don't file your taxes until you get your check. Otherwise you'll be in trouble.
Because his income was going to be higher, you mean?
Yeah, a lot higher than the previous year.
Well,
yeah.
So coincidentally for me, it's the opposite. My income was higher on my adjusted gross for 18 than it was for 19. So 19, if they go by the 19, that's why I'm asking, is because I want to know if anybody has gotten something based on a 2019 federal return. My federal return for 19 shows a low income, so I'll get more of the $600 than I got of the $1,200 for the first round, which was based on the 2018 return.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be whatever the latest return you have on file.
Well, so there's a website where you can check on the status of your stimulus check. And the result that I got when I went to that website just now was that it's, where is it? I'll read it to you. Its status is not available.
Well, there you go. Now we
and
know
it says, we are unable to provide the status of your payment because of either A, we don't have enough information yet, we're working on this, or B, you're not eligible for a payment.
Well, all I could say is that, my whole theory is that if you really want to know what somebody makes, you get an idea of where they are in the stratosphere, you just say, hey, did you get your check yet? And they say, no, I'm not getting one. Or if they say, hey, I got the check, they're not making as much money as you thought they made, So
right. Well, for the payment number one, I got like $5, but for payment number two, I'm due 90% of the whole thing, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Well, this whole thing with this money, and of course, I bring it since 9/16. I've been dealing with Bank of America and the PPP loan, and they've just taken that $26,000 and they're holding on to it for dear life. They just won't give it back to me. And today, just before the show started, I got an email from Bank of America from another division, from the PPP division, saying, hey, you need to sign this paper to get forgiveness. And yet, meanwhile, they're saying that I didn't get the loan. And so they took the money back. I can't figure it out. So I'm just going to ask one, if anybody in the sound of my voice can tell me Brian Monahan's personal phone number at Bank of America, I would love that. That's all I can say, In case you don't know who he is, he's the president of Bank of America. So, and the CEO. So,
Jan, give me $26,000 and I'll get it for you.
That's what the lawyer said. Listen, you want the $26,000 back? Give me $100,000, I'll get it back for you.
I only need $11,780.
Yeah. That's how many votes I'm looking for, too,
It's not speaking of getting free money. The first office.
Speaking of free money, California, how many here are in California? Anybody else besides me? No, I guess not. Well, anyway, they have the small business grant program where you can get up to, I think, $15,000 for your small business. So I applied for that grant, for a $5,000 grant, and I hope that I get a $5,000 grant. That'll be nice. That's just free money straight away.
Richard, aren't you in California?
Yeah, but he doesn't have a small business. He has a large business.
Oh. Yeah, I'm in California, and I don't own a business, but I work for one.
Yeah, but Gary's not, like, the company is too big to qualify for that.
Yeah, no, we did the whole PPP thing or whatever it's called.
Sure, PPP, to keep your payroll happening, yeah.
Yeah.
But the grant, the SBA grant is just free money. You know, they got $500 billion or some shit.
Sure.
You know, I mean,
it's just so funny to me. I'm sorry, I got to point this out. You know, you work for one of the biggest video companies in the entire world, and yet you're not streaming video.
Well, there's a personal level to that, I'm sure, right, Richard?
Well, actually, I have on a nice shirt right now.
It's all probably.
My hair's kind of, yeah, I'm sweatpants. I have my Zoom shirt on. I got a different one for each day of the week. I'm on Zoom about 5-6 hours a day.
Are you really? With business stuff, no doubt?
Yeah.
Now here's the question. Planning new meetings?
You know, planning meetings, half of them get canceled it's just crazy. I tell people, I feel like every day I get up and I paint the wall, and then the next day I have to paint the same wall but a different color. And the events are they're all over the place, as the clients, as are the end clients. And COVID obviously changes things, cancellations, pivots, you know, et cetera. And everything's three to five times harder than it should be. That's just, you know, how it is. And that's not just me, it's everybody. It's the business. And so, the virtual events are so much harder to do than the live events.
Are you having any freelancers work on your virtual events, or is it all in-house?
We have some freelancers. I mean, we have to train the people for the virtual events, and you know, the system that we have set up, the ecosystem within our Digital Oasis platform, has a, just like a live event, it'll have a separate audio person, separate intercom person, playback person, video switcher, engineer, graphics, producer, stage managers, etc. And you know, clients really like it because it's more like a live production, except you're sitting at home, and it's just so much harder to do than, you know, everything takes 2 to 3 to 4 times longer. Even in the, you know, we'll put a home kit into someone's house, and you would think it'd be as simple as, or at least they think it's as simple as logging on to a Zoom thing, you hit a couple buttons, boom, you're on. We put a home kit in there, and it has all sorts of, you know, remote controls with camera and lighting and whatnot. I've seen clients spend 2 hours just framing the shot, literally 2 hours, you know, and they're spending a lot of money, you know, per hour framing the shot. And it's worthwhile, because it's for, you know, C-level people. And these are big companies that are doing this. But just all of it is just so much more difficult from A to Z. You know, it's interesting. And then there's the learning curve that's come with it. You know, there's been a lot of learning on both our parts and our customers' parts. And once you know what's what, then you have to teach the customer. And as you get new customers, you guess it's the constant teaching piece. So it's
kind of like if all of a sudden you were doing, you know, events in a train station instead of in a ballroom, there would be different parameters. So it's a different environment, and they have to learn the aspects of all that new environment, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of like going from on the video side of things, which most people can relate to if you do corporate, from going to a couple 16x9 screens, all of a sudden going to a big white screen. And there was a whole different learning curve and set of explanations and parameters that needed to happen in order to deal with the white screen and use it effectively. So, you know, it's not unlike that. But no one likes it, at least that I talk to. Everyone's itching to get back into the ballroom. When something goes wrong with these events, you can't go behind the rack and see what's up. You know, there's no rack to go behind. Everyone wishes there was. But yeah, no, everyone's, you know, itching to go back. And it's not going to come back. It's going to be hybrid. And unfortunately for us, people, you know, that are a little bit older, it's never, we're never going to see this whole virtual thing go away. I mean, you're always going to have, at least for the next, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, you're always going to have that presenter that's not going to want to leave their house, where before they had to, where now they can sit at home and we can bring them in, you know, via a remote thing, pretty much automatic, at very high quality, which is something that we could do in the past, but it took a lot of coordination and it was a lot of expense, et cetera. We can do that on a dime now. I mean, we can spin up, you know, as many control rooms in the cloud as we want to, you know, immediately. So, but that's not going to go away. I mean, Ken, you've been involved in these like Oracle Open World events, et cetera. I mean, the next Oracle Open World may have three live people on stage and then three people coming in virtually. You know, I mean, and you see it with the sports and newscasts, you know, all the time. That's second nature for them. And Richard, let me ask you,
do you think that's because we as the public or as viewers have lowered our standards, or because it's we've raised the technology limits of what we can do effectively? Do you think it's one or the other or both?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think, you know, it's commonplace now. It's become commonplace, and we've been doing this now for, you know, for 6 months or more, and we'll be doing it, you know, for certainly for 3 to 4 months before the other stuff starts to come back. So, you know, and you've got the older people, you got the executive who's 75 years old, even with the vaccine and with all that, all of a sudden they have an option. They don't have to go to Las Vegas, you know, to do the 1 hour keynote.
But there's nothing, there's no replacement for that person-to-person interaction, shaking a hand, hugging, all that kind of stuff. I don't see it being 50% to hybrid. I see it maybe being, 10% hybrid. I don't know.
Yeah, it means 50 is where it's going to start. And then, I mean, I did a big automotive dealer meeting recently where it was hybrid, but there was no audience. You know, there was a live stage, big LED walls, and, you know, and it was streamed live. A little bit of stuff was in the can, et cetera, as most of these events are. If they are live, they're still doing a lot of pre-recorded stuff that makes it look like it's live, but it's not. But, I mean, you know, I read a thing over the weekend where there was a very well-known business executive was commenting about when this thing does come back, you're going to get that young whippersnapper that's going to get on an airplane, he's going to fly across the country, and he's going to sit down across the desk from the CEO, shake his hand, he's going to get the deal. He's going to think outside the box based on where we are right now, and he's going to get the deal. And then all of a sudden, you know, that's going to open back up. You know, so, but it's going to take time, you know, and it, you know, we'll see what happens with the vaccine and how things progress, you know.
I just think there's a very strong yearning by people in general, just, you know, humans, to get together. And I think that, well, to get together is very strong.
100%. Let me wrap this real quick. But people that go to these conferences and go to these concerts, they like to travel, you know, and especially on these tech conferences, they're IT people. It's a perk for them to go to Vegas or San Francisco or wherever it might be. Same with the automotive people. It's a perk to go out and have the nice dinners and see the concerts that are free and see their friends, et cetera. I mean, half of them aren't going for the conference. They're going so they can get away from their home for 3 or 4 or 5 days and have some fun.
And we know at least a certain percentage of those big quote unquote business meetings are simply tax write-offs and a way to spend the company's monies and have fun for the attendees, right? But hey, let me ask you mentioned Oracle Open World. What's the next Oracle Open World look like and what city?
Well, you know, the last one was going to be in Las Vegas, and it was virtual. We weren't involved in it. I'm not entirely sure if they did anything, but it was in Las Vegas. You heard, obviously, Oracle has left San Francisco, as is Larry Ellison. So, you know, I would guess Las Vegas again, just because of the capacity and lower prices, you know, et cetera.
So, has that already happened, that Oracle has left California?
Yeah, I don't know if it's already. It may be a slow process, I'm sure. I mean, they own a lot of property because they own all the Sun property as well. So they're all over the Bay Area. They announced they're moving to what, outside of San Antonio, you know?
And yeah. Just like Elon Musk, same deal, right?
Yeah. And then the HP moving out as well. I mean, and you know, all that's going to get replaced by smaller startup companies. You know, there's no doubt about that, but San Francisco and the state of California in particular is making some enemies out there, you know. So
yeah, high taxes will do that for you.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, Vegas, you know, anyone that travels and does the convention stuff, Vegas isn't necessarily a lot of fun either. When you're, you know, Vegas is a nice town. I don't have an issue going there, but when you're going there 10 times a year for a corporate thing, it gets really taxing. So.
Most people love it. I mean, most attendees kind of people love it.
Oh, right? Yeah. But they're going once or twice a year. Yeah. So.
Right. Right. Or 10 times. But yeah.
Yeah. But believe me, at this point, I'd love to go to Vegas eight times this year.
Right.
Yeah. Come and visit me. Come and visit me.
Right? I will, Jen.
We now have like 2 to 3 million square feet of space. I mean, the convention center bought up like everything all the way up to the Strip, the Riviera, all the way from where they are in the convention center, all the way up to where the Riviera stood. And so they've got that whole huge area that I think right now that's up to like 2 or 3 million square feet of just convention space there, not to mention the Sands, not to mention Mandalay Bay, not to mention Caesars, all of these. I would liken to guess there must be about 20 zillion square feet of convention space here in Vegas, you know? So come on down, is what they said, you know, come on down and visit us here in Vegas, although there's not a lot going on right now. But one thing I will say is that I've been reading about real estate, and most people have been saying that, you know, now that people are working out of their houses and you can remote work, that it's not going to come back. But the articles that I'm reading right now are saying that, yes, they will come back because people are not as productive right now because they're working out of their house. And it's hard for people to keep track of what people are doing when you're not in a central location.
Jan, to that, I've read two different comments here. But first, I read an article saying that most mid to upper level management are working 10 plus hours more a week when they're working at home than when they were working in the office because they're not separating that boundary. But going back to the conventions, a large gathering that I participated in the last 5 or 6 years went virtual last year, and I just got an invitation for them for late July. They're going to do a live event followed behind the next week with a virtual event for those that don't want to attend the live event. And it's the same instructors and everybody else doing both shows. So their planning is to go in and record all of the presentations and then do them virtually the week after. So,
yeah. Well, people are getting creative in what they're going to do. And I mean, we need work. We need to expose from a manufacturer standpoint of view, the new products. I mean, going in the room, has anybody been approached by any manufacturer of something new that they've got coming out in our industry? Has anybody been approached?
Anyone, when you say been approached, you're talking directly, as in, I mean, I've seen advertisements for new products.
I mean, has somebody been, you know, somebody, have you gotten a phone call saying, hey, we've got the new Digico board, or we've got the new Martin lighting console, or we've got the new Grandma, you know, 5. Has anybody been approached by anybody in this respect?
No, but you can.
Good, Tim.
No, but you can bring me some customers, because I don't have a dime to spend on hardware till I make up the $100,000 dump I took this year so far. End of story. I wish I could buy new gear. I'd love to buy some new gear, and I know I'm going to get riders that want new gear, and I'm just going to have to say, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there's some, not a lot, but there's some new LED stuff that's out there. Like I said, not a lot, but there's some.
Yeah. Well, on a bright note like that, I would say, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to let those people on YouTube and Facebook. We got it. You know, you don't know what you're going to miss now on those people are monitoring us on YouTube and Facebook. I mean, now we're really going to get into the down and dirty and talk about you. So remember, if you like what you see, click the like button, share it. You know, if you want to be part of the panel, you know what you got to do. I don't got to go involved and tell you that. Remember to subscribe, do whatever you're going to do. And remember, you make it happen. So do me one favor, though. Do me one favor. Stay safe and stay healthy. And thanks for watching. And for those people that are in the room, we're gonna say goodbye to those people out there in video land and streaming world. And we're going to talk about those people there. And by the way, one last thing for those people listening, David Dance.